Commissioners' regular session, Tuesday, July 14th, 2015, to order. Second item on the agenda is Pledge Allegiance. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call.
Okay. Commissioner Brown.
Here.
Commissioner Carabelli.
Present.
Commissioner Duje.
Present.
Commissioner Flynn.
Here.
Commissioner Kleinfeld.
Here.
Commissioner Marino.
Here.
Commissioner Miller.
Yes.
Commissioner Sabatini. Commissioner Sager.
Here.
Commissioner Smith.
Here.
Commissioner Toko. Commissioner Vosburg.
Here.
And Commissioner Majek, excuse me.
Adoption of the agenda. Moved by Marino, supported by Miller. Just so everybody knows in the audience, this is the full board meeting. There's one agenda item for the issuance of bonds, and then we'll listen to the presentation of the 2016 recommended budget from the executive office. And then this meeting will end, and we'll go into government operations, where there will be interviews for the equalization director and for Veterans Affairs Commission. So with that said, we have a motion in support. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The agenda is so adopted. Public participation. Are there any members of the public wishing to speak? Going once, going twice, going three times. Public participation is closed. Correspondence from the executive. There is none at this time. There is an item that was waived by both the infrastructure and economic development co-chairs as well as the finance chair, and it is to adopt a resolution to provide for the issuance and sale of revenue bonds relating to the Southeast Macomb County Wastewater Disposal. We have the Deputy Public Works Commissioner with us, Bill. Could you please use your microphone, Bill?
Asking the Board of Commissioners to approve a bond resolution in the amount not to exceed $3 million to finance improvements and upgrades to the Southeast Macomb County.
Thank you. Wastewater disposal system, which is a sanitary sewer system built by our office in the 1970s and 1980s. At a cost of $34 million, which services some 144,000 residents of St. Clair Shores, Roseville, and East Point. The initial construction was financed by grants from EPA and MDEQ, along with a local bond issue, which was approved by the Board of Commissioners at that time. Last year, the system was inspected by our engineering consultant, AEW, which recommended the repair and rehab of three components consisting of the Northeast Relief Sewer, Bonhue Pump Station, and Violet Pump Station. It is proposed that the bonding be financed through the State Revolving Fund, which offers a preferential interest rate of 2.5% for 20 years. The going market rate for these bonds would be in the range of 3.4%, so there will be a substantial savings by going through the state. We ask that this item be waived to the full board, bypassing the Infrastructure and Finance Committee, because time is of the essence to meet financing deadlines established by the state. We appreciate the board's willingness to take up this matter on an expedited basis and thank the committee chairs for their cooperation. The cities of St. Clair, Shores, Roseville, and East Point will pay all project costs. No charges will be assessed against the county. The engineers have met with the cities to explain the project scope and cost of work, and they have indicated their support of the project. The resolution before you basically asks for approval to issue and sell revenue bonds in the name of the district, pledges the county's full faith and credit as secondary security, authorizes the publication of a notice of intent to sell bonds with the right of referendum, and take other actions deemed necessary and appropriate in connection with the bond sale as recommended by our bond council. So that's what this is about, and we're here to answer any questions. That's for your approval.
Thank you. I need a motion in support. Moved by Brown, supported by Sager. Commissioner Vosburg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. In pledging our full faith and credit, does that mean if these municipalities can't
keep up the debt service, that the county would have to do that?
If a community was delinquent on its debt service payment, the county would be legally obligated to make up that particular payment that the community was delinquent on. But in the 60 years that this full faith and credit process has been in place under the drain code, the county has never been asked to pony up any money. The communities have always paid their bills on time in full. So I think there's very little risk to the county if it does have to make a payment, and then there are procedures in place by which the county would be reimbursed in a timely manner if it did have to make a payment.
What would those types of things be?
Pardon me?
What would those types of ways to collect the money be?
Well, the maybe I can ask our bond counsel to address that. Who's here this morning?
Yeah.
Could you please come to the microphone?
This is Barbara Bowman from the Bobbin Law Firm.
Good morning. Under the drain code, the county will have all remedies available under applicable law to enforce the requirement of the municipalities to pay the bonds. And ultimately, if cooperation is not, you know, received from the communities, there's a process by which they can go to the state and intercept certain monies that the state would otherwise pay to the communities. So that would be the last resort.
Okay, thank you.
Right, yeah. Revenue sharing.
Right. Thank you. I don't anticipate anyone not cooperating.
No.
But we do this often, and times are getting, for some municipalities, they're not out of the woods financial problems
right.
yet.
It's a legitimate question and concern.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Commissioner Carabelli, did you have something?
No, Mr. Chairman, and that's a correct answer, and I believe also a SAD would be imposed on the property itself. If that ever happened. So a special assessment district would actually
yes.
not on the user, but on the property itself. So
right.
Commissioner Kleinfeld.
Thank you, Chair. I get them confused, the SMSD or the SMDA. It's one of the two.
Well, this is neither.
Oh, it's neither.
No.
Okay. So it doesn't go through.
This is a system that was constructed by the Macomb County Public Works Office starting in the 70s and it is fresh into the 80s. And
okay.
It really covers facilities, some of which are owned by SEMSD to confuse things a little bit further, but there are three or four different agencies operating in the same vicinity.
But okay, so do they have a board or a body that votes on whether or not to
well,
do the project?
Well, the governing body for this system is the Public Works Commissioner.
Okay.
Under Act 342.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
Any other questions related to this item? Seeing none, I believe it's required that we have a roll call vote.
Yes.
Would please. Clerk, can you call the roll, please?
Yes. Commissioner Duche?
Yes.
Commissioner Brown?
Yes.
Commissioner Carabelli?
Aye.
Commissioner Flynn?
Yes.
Commissioner Kleinfeld?
Yes.
Commissioner Marino?
Yes.
Commissioner Mijak?
Yes.
Commissioner Miller?
Yes.
Commissioner Sabatini?
Yes.
Commissioner Sauger?
Yes.
Commissioner Smith? Commissioner Toko?
The item passes unanimously 11-0. Is that correct?
Yes. Thank you.
Good. Thank you.
The item passes 11-0. With that, we'll move on to the presentation of 2016 recommended budget. Before we enter that presentation by the finance director, Steve Schmiegel, I really think this is an opportunity to showcase the services of Macomb County, to show what we deliver to the public, and also to have our input in the process outlined by the charter. Just broad strokes, it is a $684 million budget. $226 million of that is general fund. $458 of that is special reserve, enterprise, or grant funds. And as we know, Steve will illustrate some of the reserve funds that were put in towards capital investment. that you'll see in this year's budget. We do have positive news in terms of an operating surplus, which is higher than we expected due to increases in property tax assumptions as well as liquor tax. Consistent with the Commission's request from previous budget cycles, on pages 819 and 820 shows a list of all the requested new positions from different departments, whether they be executive, countywide, or different agencies of the county, and job reclassifications by department. Just to be clear, these positions were not approved or declined. As in previous years, this is kind of left up to the legislative body as the appropriating function per the charter for department heads to come to this board, for countywide to come to this board, and to make their business case for why they're asking for these requests. And internally, I want to remind commissioners the process as it was last year and the previous year. First, we'll hear all the presentations throughout July and August from every single department or agency of the county. And then we'll have a meeting or two meetings at the end of August, beginning of September, where commissioners can offer amendments, a package of amendments, along with the corresponding revenue source to pay for that in order to keep a balanced budget. And so with that, I'm happy to answer any questions before Steve comes up and makes his presentation. Commissioner Kleinfeld.
Just one real quick. You said these positions are neither approved or declined. In years past, didn't we have where the county exec would approve some of them but not approve others? And then the board looked at it, and well, we had differences of opinion about how to go about that. But didn't previously the county exec look at the them in the budget and determine this one will be included and this one won't?
I'll let them speak to that, but I believe for job reclassifications that may be true. But I believe they've held the line on no new positions since I've been chair of this body. But job reclassifications, maybe. You should ask Steve that during his presentation.
Okay, thank you.
Steve?
Yeah, Commissioner, I think last year we included some positions in the Sheriff's Department that were contractually obligated for dispatch. But we're being consistent this year in terms of non-contractually related positions not being flowed into the budget initially.
Okay. Maybe my confusion is the vacant positions that would be re-included. You know, they were all in the budget, but they weren't filled. Maybe that's what my...
That might be true, but also during the year, which I think frustrates commissioners, is different departments come to us with job reclassifications or new positions outside of the budget cycle.
All right, thank you.
Any other questions? Steve?
Okay, thank you, Chairman. As Commissioner Flynn indicated, our overall budget for 2016 is $684 million. It's about $226 million in the general fund. And on slide two, I just want to talk briefly at a very high level about revenues. The 2016 budget includes revenues of roughly $655 million. Across all funds, that's an increase of about $26.5 million over 2015, which is about a 4.5% increase. That is led almost not entirely, but the largest portion of that is a $19 million increase in Medicaid revenues in mental health. And there's about a $5 million increase in indirect cost allocation revenue in the general fund. $3 million of that relates to a chargeback of the $59 million one-time contribution to the retiree health care program that we made in 2015. So we've talked about that before, where the delinquent tax revolving fund contributed $30 million, the general fund contributed $29 million to pre-fund future normal costs, and we are now rolling that into our personnel calculations and our fringe benefits and charging that back to all departments and grants. And we're going to do that over 20 years, which is the life of the bonds. So it's $2,950,000 a year. So that comes into the general fund as revenue in the indirect cost line or internal services. So that's a $5 million increase there. And then we have a $2.7 million increase in property tax revenue because we're budgeting a 2% increase. The transfers in line item is a significant line item. There's a $21 million decrease in that line item from 15 to 16. That is a combination of a reduction of $30 million because we had the one-time contribution in 2015 from the delinquent tax revolving fund, which we, of course, then turned around and contributed to the retiree health care plan. And then the $8 million annual contribution from the delinquent tax fund is coming back online in 2016. That line item has been in the budget for numerous years, as long as I've been here, which is 25 years. We did not request that money from the treasurer for the last 3 years, 13, 14, and 15. However, in lieu of that, the treasurer contributed $30 million to the health care program. So the $8 million is coming back online in 2016 and will continue into the future as far as I would forever. It's been around for a long time. On slide three, we talk about expenses across all funds. Again, $684 million in expenditures across all programs, agencies, and funds. That's a decrease of $29.2 million, which again is made up of two components. There's a $59 million decrease in the retiree health care line because we made the one-time contribution in 2015, which means that all other line items went up $29.8 million across all funds. Again, the largest portion of that is in what we call the supplies and services area. That increased $16.2 million, $12 million of which is related to mental health, again, in their Medicaid services. We have a $2.7 million increase in salaries and wages and benefits due to a 2% across-the-board increase that we're granting to employees in 2016. That's the first across-the-board increase since 2007. There's a $7 million increase in contract services. Again, $5 million of that is in mental health. So a lot of what's driving our increases in revenues and expenditures are due to mental health. We've built in a 4% healthcare inflation. Again, we have a $3 million allocation to all the grant funds and all the departments to recover this $59 million contribution over 20 years. And we have an $18.3 million debt service payment built in to the budget for the retiree health care bonds that we've spoken about previously. I'll go to slide four, which is we'll talk a little bit about notable general fund expenditure items as opposed to the previous two slides were on a county-wide basis. Again, we have a $22 million contribution to the Capital Improvement Fund, which is a planned contribution, as we've spoken about previously when we were talking about bonding for the Central Campus project. There's a $3.7 million debt service payment related to that bond issue. We've made significant investments in our hardware and software technologies in IT, which has led to $1 million increase in annual maintenance costs. And Sandy will talk more about that in detail when she's here for her budget hearing. Human Resources has asked for a $500,000 one-time allocation to fund a countywide compensation classification study, and the sheriff has asked for $225,000 to equip all of the sworn officers with body cameras, and that would be a one-time expense as well. Slide five talks about the personnel requests that Chairman Flynn spoke to briefly. A total of 19.3 new position requests and 35 upgrades that involve positions either budgeted in the general fund or budgeted in other funds but supported in whole or in part by the general fund were requested. Again, none of them have been approved or denied, but they haven't, you know, they just haven't been flowed through the budget pending the results of the budget hearings. The total cost of all of those requests is about $1.9 million. $1.5 million, which would be borne by the general fund if they were granted in their entirety. Again, none of those requests have been flowed through the budget at this point. Slide six is a schedule of the positions that were requested by department. The detail of this slide is on page A19 of the budget in terms of the individual positions. This is at a higher level of total cost and total counts, along with how much is would be funded by the general fund versus how much would be funded by outside sources. So again, 19.3, the total cost is $1.6 million. 1.3 of that would be absorbed into the general fund if they were all granted in their entirety. Moving on to slide 7, we talk about the upgrades and reclassifications. There's a total of 35. Again, the individual positions are on page A20 of the budget. This is a high level in terms of the number of reclassifications by department. Again, the total is $242,000, $125,000 of which would be absorbed by the general fund if they were granted in their entirety. If we move on to slide 8, we're getting a little more into detail about the general fund now, and total expenditures exceed total revenues by $11.7 million. So we have a planned drawdown of fund balance in 2016. The key takeaway, I think, here is that $11.7 million drawdown in fund balance is made up of two components. It's a $10.3 million operating surplus and a $22 million planned contribution to the capital improvement fund. So the net of that is a drawdown of fund balance, but I want to emphasize again that we've talked about that numerous times when we were talking about our capital plan in the downtown project, and we've planned it out. And at the end of 2016, fund balance will be just shy of 25% of operating expenses in the general fund. And we'll see later in the presentation, I kind of map things out for 10 years, and we'll see where fund balance is headed based on our budgetary patterns. Moving on to slide 9. This is a revenue summary for the general fund. This is a little more high-level roll-up than you'll see in the budget document for spacing, basically. But you'll see that the revenues are $214 million, and the expenses, again, are $226 million. Resulting in an excess of expenditures over revenue, that planned drawdown of $11.7 million. And at the bottom of the page is a reconciliation showing that we have the surplus from ongoing operations of $10.2 million or $10.3 million and a $22 million drawdown or contribution to the capital fund. You'll see for comparative purposes, I've done the same thing for 2015. We're budgeting a $6.1 million surplus from ongoing operations in 2015. If we move on to slide 10, slide 10 is a reconciliation from our $6.1 million budgeted operating surplus in 2015 to our $10.2 million budgeted operating surplus in 2016. So we started at the top of the page with the $6.1 million, and we have some major revenue items that have increased. Of course, property taxes are $2.6 million, the $8 million contribution from the delinquent tax fund. $1.7 million is the net impact by allocating all the grant funds, their portion of the $59 million. So we have a total increase in revenues of $14 million, and then we have some expenditure increases, of course, over the prior year. The increase in debt service from the central campus bonds is about $3.3 million. The reason for that is that there was only one interest payment on those bonds in 2015, and the full debt service of two interest payments and one principal payment come online and starting in 2016. So that's why that increase is there. We have a 2% wage increase, as we talked about earlier, and then the HR compensation study, the body cameras, the IT maintenance costs are kind of big ticket items, if you will, and then just overall increases in operating expenses and operating transfers out, resulting in $9.9 million of new expenses, if you will, and the bottom line is we have an operating surplus of $10.3 million. If we move on to slide 11, we talk a little bit more in detail about revenues, year-to-year comparison with increases and decreases and percentage changes. And slides 12 and 13 then go into a little more detail explaining some of the major increases and decreases. Of course, property taxes increase as we budgeted a 2% increase in property values. Charges for services decreased $1.3 million, and that's composed of three items. We're budgeting a decrease in charges, amounts charged back from the facilities department for building repairs done in various buildings throughout the county. It's a more realistic reflection of what's been going on in the last couple of years. There's an offset there, though, because building repair expenses then down as well. So it's sort of a budget neutral item, but when you're talking about the revenue side, it's resulting in a reduction in revenue. We've lowered our estimate on recording fees in the Register of Deeds by $500,000. We had some really good years in the last two or three years, but we're lowering that down to more of what's happening so far and what the Register of Deeds sees happening this year. And then there's a reduction of $200,000 in land access fees in the Register of Deeds, which is the charges that we recover from folks or collect from folks for doing online searches on property deeds. That revenue is going over to the Register of Deeds Technology Fund, which is where all the expenses related to maintaining that system are recorded. I'm going to skip down to the indirect cost allocation. Again, there's an increase of $5 million from 15 to 16. Again, we spoke about that item just a few minutes ago. And then the transfers in is a decrease of $22 million, which we spoke about previously as well. So those are the major changes on the revenue side. If we move forward then to slide 14. Slide 14 is a year-to-year comparison of the major expenditure items, again with the personnel or the percent changes. Again, salaries and wages and the associated payroll taxes are increasing 1.7%. That is a combination of two things as well. There's a 2% across-the-board increase, but we also had a $500 lump sum payment per employee built into the 2015 budget that we're not making, so budgetarily that's why there's not a 2% increase, it's less. On the employee health, dental, and other benefits line, that includes pension and retiree health care, you'll see a very large decrease of $59 million. Again, that's due to the one-time contribution that we made in 2015. Supplies and contract services is up about 8% or $2.6 million. That line item includes the $1 million in additional software and hardware maintenance costs that I spoke about in IT, plus the $500,000 for the compensation study. So those are the biggest line items there. The transfers out, there's an increase of $27 million there. $22 million of that is attributable to the contribution to the capital improvement fund that I spoke about earlier. So that's sort of a high level view of the expenditures and the changes. The next two pages then basically talk about the explanations that I just gave you. So if we move to slide 17, which it's going to be very difficult given the size of the screen to see on here, but if you go to your hard copy. This is a 10-year forecast of the general fund based on our 2016 spending, or our budget, I should say. So we started in 2016, and you'll see that we have this drawdown of fund balance of $11.7 million, and we project this out for 10 years. And if we collect every penny that we bill, and we spend every penny that we budget on the expenditure side, in 2025, our fund balance will be just shy of $37 million, or 15% of expenses. As we've spoken about previously on many occasions, we're trying to target a 20% reserve level. And so there's, I guess I'll call it a bit of good news in here, that this is all based on spending every dollar that we budgeted, as I just said. We typically don't do that. We typically lapse some operating money, if you will, at the department level. If we lapse $1 million a year in operating expenses, then our fund balance is just over 20% in 10 years. Our operating budget's about $30 million. So can we achieve $1 million savings, if you will, in operating expenses? I think that's fairly realistic. We're tight on the personnel side because we've built in that 7% vacancy turnover that we have for the last couple of years. We're getting pretty close to that. So when I look at areas that we may be able to achieve some budgetary savings, I always kind of concentrate on the operating expenses. And again, if we can achieve roughly $1 million in operating costs every year for 10 years, we get back to our 10%. Our 20%. Slide 18 are some of the major assumptions that are built into that 10-year forecast. We've spoken about these previously. We have a 2% property tax increase built in every year, a 1% increase in revenue sharing. Starting in 2017, we've built in a 1.5% wage increase, as opposed to the 2% that we're giving in 2016. 4% health care inflation every year. We've built in two additional circuit court judges starting in 2017, which is about $1 million. We built in another additional circuit court judge in 2019, which is about $500,000, in a general 2% inflationary increase in operating expenses going forward. So if we look at slide 19 is a comparison of the fund balance each year for the next 10 years, assuming under three or four different scenarios. The first scenario, which is the green line at the top, is where the fund balance is headed if we don't add any more expenses to the budget. And we just take our 2016 budget and we run it out 10 years. And you'll see at the end of 10 years that the fund balance is projected to be about 15.4%. The next line below that, which is sort of a wine or a maroon color, is what's happening or what would happen to the fund balance if we added $100,000 of expenses. Really, I'm thinking of personnel here. So if you had $100,000 in personnel costs or other operating costs for that matter, what happens to the fund balance? We're still at roughly 25% in 2016, but at the end of 2025, we're just shy of 15%. The next line, which is the blue line, depicts what we project to happen if we add $500,000 in new expenses to the budget. And you'll see that at the end of 10 years, we're below 13%, at about 12.5%. The purple line depicts what we project will happen if we add $1 million of expenses to the budget. And you'll see that at the end of 2025, we're below 10%. So now we're below industry standards at that point in time. And the last line is a depiction of what we think will happen if we add $1.4 million in expenses, which is the value of all the positions, really. And if we do that, we're below 10%. We're below 9% actually in 10 years. So just kind of give everybody a flavor of sensitivity analysis of what happens if we add positions and things like that. So we think it's a good budget. We have resources to work with. We are on solid ground financially, but we need to manage what we have. We cannot run off and start spending money freely. We have to manage what we're doing. So that concludes my comments.
Thank you. First, the motion to receive and file, then we'll take questions. Carabelli, Smith, Commissioner Kleinfeld.
Thank you, Chair. Okay, I just have the last three pages. Questions on page 17, which is the 10-year forecast. It is going down, even if you hold the line on what your plan is. Do you foresee that to continue to occur, even if we make gains, you know, in particular years by not filling positions and stuff? Do you see that we're at 50,000 in fund and we go down to 36? Do you see that continuing out further into the future, that trend downward?
Up and down, yeah. I can see it going up a little bit in some years and down in other years.
So up two, down three, up two, down three?
I'd have to play that out. I haven't done that
but
yet.
But you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know what
the
you're saying.
The trend is downward,
yeah,
across the board.
Right.
Do you consider the next 10 years the trend to continue to be downward across the board?
I would probably see no reason not to expect that to happen. Again, now what we do have built in, as you'll see starting in 2020, is a maintenance level of $4 million to the Capital Improvement Fund. So, you know, we're making significant investments in our buildings down here, and we're making significant investments in our buildings throughout the county. So that may, if we have some relief there, that helps, of course.
But the 1.5% wage increase is calculated into each year?
Yeah, each year. Yep.
And then the page 18, the 4% you have health care inflation each year, that was not a realistic number in the past. Do you believe with the change that we're going to do in 2016 that becomes a realistic number?
I think so, and I think our renewals for 16 came in at around 3%, if I recall correctly.
But statistically,
yeah,
that hasn't even been close, correct?
It was in closer to the 8 to 10% range for a number of years. It's been in the 4 or 5% range for a few years now.
Okay.
So we've made significant changes over the years in terms of moving people into a 90-10 plan and, you know, getting them out of the PPO into HMO plans and things of that nature. So we've made some inroads there in the last few years in terms of health care.
Okay, then on page 19, my last question is, your original recommended, that plugs in the 1.5 every year,
yes,
correct?
Yep, absolutely. All of those scenarios. All of those scenarios build in all of the assumptions on page 18.
Okay, and just with respect to even the new positions and the job classifications, the system we have now is administrators will come forth and plead to the board on why they need positions. But I was kind of vocal about this last year. We don't have the benefit. We're just given a blank slate. The county execs just saying no across the board and leaving it to us. But I don't think we're equipped to actually study the departments and determine the situations in each department. So how do we get to the point where there is advice from the county exec, other than just to say no new positions? There may be a department where, well, maybe you should cut a position here and add a position here. How do we get to the person who's actually running the day-to-day or the department running the day-to-day actually looking into these departments and giving us recommendations rather than us kind of just willy-nilly determining who made the best case in front of us when we don't really know?
Well, I think part of that is this compensation and classification study will help.
That's going to drive everything up, not
well,
down.
Well, it's possible, but at least it gives us a benchmark. It gives us a baseline.
Because I mean, I do think it's important because I think we're underpaying people, but I think that the end result of that is we're going to get hit with a whole lot of folks that have a compensation study that say that they're being underpaid, and so
it's completely possible, Commissioner, but at least we have a baseline and some process in place to evaluate upgrade requests and that sort of thing.
All right, thank you, Chair.
Smith, Toko, and Miller on deck. Commissioner Smith?
I just wanted to, on page 19, morning, Steve.
Morning.
Thanks for the presentation. On page 19, you had spoke about, you know, the reality is we will probably save $1 million every year. That's not built into this. That's still, that was just your assumption.
That is not built into this.
That's not.
That's not built into this. So this is all based on the budgets.
Right, okay. And then your 2% increase per year, that's carried on through the next 10 years as far as...
Yeah, everything, every scenario for the 10 years on, presented on page 17 and 19 all factor in, all of those assumptions on page 18.
Okay, and where were we this last year with property?
3.7.
Okay, but we...
We were 1.6 the year before, 3.7 in 2015.
It's continually going back to...
Yeah, we're seeing recovery there.
But we are basing the next 10 years
on
2%, a conservative,
yes.
2%.
Yeah,
okay.
Which we will have to continually monitor every year in the spring when the equalization director comes in with property values and equalization study. We'll have to reevaluate and flow those numbers through this 10-year forecast.
Okay. Great. All right, thank you.
Commissioner Toko, Miller, and then Vosburgh. Commissioner Miller, and then Vosburgh.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Steve, thanks for the presentation. I know a lot of hard work went into getting it to this far, and we have a lot of hard work ahead of us, but it's not lost upon us that this is your first year in this new role. You're certainly not no stranger to this process, but it's good to be working with you in this new capacity, and appreciate your hard work on
appreciate
this.
Appreciate the comments.
So this is there's no way, two ways about it. I mean, this slide 19 and the conclusions that you put forward here are kind of sobering in terms of our 10-year forecast, but I just want to provide some context, if only to remind myself, if not commissioners and other folks, that over the last 48 months, 3 years or so maybe, we've made some big decisions, we've made some big moves, and ultimately, while the budget is an important part, maybe even the most important part of the health forecast of this organization, the County of Macomb, I would submit that it's not the only thing, that maybe the most important thing that we have to keep our eye on is our ability to deliver quality services. Now, our budget projections kind of forecast our ability to do that into the future, but I want to remind commissioners that of the steps that we've taken that may have set this trend line for the budget forecast this way, certainly put us on solid footing to be able to deliver quality services into the future. This would have been an even more cataclysmic trend line had we not taken the steps we had to refinance our retiree health care debt. It would have been even harder to even get to that red line,
absolutely,
let alone the green line.
Absolutely.
Similarly, with a crumbling infrastructure around us, if we didn't do that investment that we're doing now, it would have, a couple years down the road, we would have had a power plant blowout, or we would have had unforeseen events that would have otherwise adversely affected this trend line. So I just want to put that out there, not that the commissioners need reminding, but to provide context for it, because I think that's important stuff. Steve, I guess one question I want to ask about is the contribution from the tax delinquent revolving fund. What's the magic number of $8 million? How did we arrive at that figure? And, well, first off, I guess the first question is, what's the current balance of the revolving fund, you know?
I don't know as of today what the current balance was. At the end of 2014, it was about $140 million. Of course, $30 million was contributed this year. So somewhere around $110 million,
okay,
at this point.
Okay.
So the magic of the $8 million
is
been historically.
Okay. So obviously that's under the purview of the treasurer.
That's correct.
And so certainly he would have some opinions on that. And
he's on board with it.
He does good work with that, and it allows him to not have to foreclose on people and to offer the relief that he does. But all I'm saying is that perhaps it's worth, Mr. Chair, opening up a conversation with the treasurer to see that maybe he would entertain a larger contribution, theoretically, now, which would, if put in the beginning of this trend line, might affect it exponentially down the road. And so, Mr. Chair, I would just put that out there for us to think about, that maybe that's something that we could talk to the good treasurer about. I look forward to working with you over the next couple of months on this budget, Steve. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Commissioner. Thank you.
Commissioner Vosburg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Steve, for all the work again. I have two questions. One related to capital improvement fund. Doesn't appear that there's any planned contributions for future needs.
Well, there's a $22 million contribution in 16, a $16 million contribution in 17.
But that's, if my understanding was, that was to pay the, make payments?
To the capital fund? No, that's to fund the 5-year capital plan.
What's
the $22 million? Maybe I'm misunderstanding your question.
Right. I might misunderstand the information. Are there the money that's going in and out of the capital improvement fund?
Right.
What is that for?
That is to fund improvements to various buildings throughout the county.
The current building that's going on, the current projected building, or is it anticipated that after paying off the bonds and stuff, there would still be?
It's anticipating going forward that we'll need a maintenance level of $4 million just to maintain IT initiatives, for example, ongoing projects such as roofing repairs, parking lot repavements.
I guess can we avoid ever having to bond for capital improvements again by the amount of money, based on the amount of money we're putting in budgeting for that each year?
It's hard to say at this point. I would certainly hope so, other than maybe the jail, which is a whole different conversation. But once we renovate this downtown project, that's, you know, significant. We shouldn't have very many or very much in terms of repairs here. Hard to say what might happen at the Verkulin building or Southeast Health or Clemens or any of our other campus buildings.
But right now,
I don't see any need to do that.
It appears to be adequate funding.
Yes,
we can drill down on that when we get
absolutely
to that part of the budget.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and then the other broad-based question was, we have a goal of 20% operating budget, you said, an overall goal.
Mm-hmm.
And what benchmark or what indicator?
Kind of the industry standard is 10 to 15%. We were above 20%. We were closer to 45% before we entertained or put into motion the downtown project and the retiree healthcare funding and those sorts of things to address our infrastructure and, of course, our major legacy liability of the retiree healthcare. So, again, the industry standard is 10 to 15. This is a good area to exceed industry standards. I'll just put it that way.
Absolutely. Yeah, but it's still, it exceeds perhaps the industry standards, but it's still less than what we had been used to, at least when I started
absolutely
out.
But of course, we were fortunate to build those reserves that allowed us to fund retiree health care, for example, and to invest in our infrastructure.
That's
so
why we, right, and to avoid unnecessary costs from delaying
exactly.
Yeah.
So we're fortunate that we have resources to work. You know, we've had resources to work with. We still have resources to work with.
Great. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Any other commissioners with questions? Commissioner Myjack.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. One question. What would be a major hurdle or threat to these major assumptions you have? So I'm thinking out loud here, like if another recession happens. So
if another recession happens and we don't see a 2% increase every year in property values, that can cause, you know, our property tax revenue is about $120 million a year. So half a percent swing one way or the other is $600,000. Just an example.
So would you say that a recession would be the biggest threat to the assumptions we have built into this model?
I would say so. I mean, if we have another 2008 or something, for example.
At that level,
because property value has plummeted
right
for 5 years in a row. They're showing some recovery at this point.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks for the detailed report.
You're welcome.
Any other commissioners with questions? Just a couple points. Steve, thanks for the presentation. I know it's your first time up there for the budget. You did a great job. In terms of page 19, I find it to be quite conservative, which I know is in the DNA of a finance director, which it should be. What are the surpluses we've been running lately? I know they're higher than
we ran. we've been closer to the $6 million that we're budgeting for 15. So in 2014, it was about 3.7. In 2013, it was, I think, 1.7. And my memory doesn't serve me that well going back to 2012. But we've been running some, healthy surpluses, I'll say.
Mm-hmm. And this year it's 10.2 million?
10.2 operating.
Operating.
Yep.
And moving forward, we're incorporating an additional $1 million for IT each year?
$1 million every year for IT.
And then in 2020, $4 million for the capital improvement plan?
Maintenance level, yes.
So we're, this budget is baked in to have some of those reserves to make sure that we don't have these huge costs that just build up over time.
Correct.
That from year to year, we're actually maintaining the county instead of, coming into a point where we have a huge bill in front of us.
Right.
And so if we had $1 million, which I think is very conservative for operating budget from what I've seen and what the numbers look forward to, obviously that doesn't take into account 2008. But $1 million on page 19 brings you back up to 20%, correct, each year?
Correct.
And that's a pretty conservative number.
I think that $1 million is achievable.
Got it. Okay. With that, any other questions? Seeing none, the deputy executive would like to make a few comments, closing remarks.
Yes, thank you, Chairman Flynn. Good morning, commissioners. And I want to conclude this budget presentation first by publicly thanking our Director of Finance, Steve Smigel, and his team, some of whom are present here today. Steve, as you know, assumed the position of Interim Finance Director back around September 1st of last year, when the former director left. We have not yet filled the deputy finance director, the assistant finance director, so Steve and his team behind him have kind of been doing double duty. And because this budget cycle, preparation begins for a new budget almost the day after that you approve this, so on October 1st of this year, we're going to start, him and his team are going to start preparing for the 2017 budget. So a lot of work goes into it, but we hope to get that position filled sometime soon, now that the budget is in your hands. Certainly on behalf of the county executive, we're proud of the budget that we presented to you today. It is not without its challenges, and as Steve has illustrated in the PowerPoint, when you look at the 10-year projection, while it's kind of cool to look at, it gets a little scary when you look at those last 5 years. But, understand that a lot can happen over a 10-year period, and the math gets kind of fuzzier. If you break that down and you look 3 years out, you get probably a truer sense of what could happen, or even 5 years, and you see that we're still within that 15 to 20% range within 5 years from now. So we need to continue to be diligent and in mind the store, so to speak, and we continue to do that. I would like to take this opportunity, though, to talk about some of the comments about the additional positions that were requested and are not part of the budget that's in front of you. We are being very consistent for the second year in a row in not including new positions in the proposed budget. Understand, and I know that you do, that the county executive has direct authority for 12 or 13 departments in county government. I can guarantee you that if some of those positions that are being proposed that fall under the executive's umbrella, if we didn't agree with it, they're not in your lap right now. So we agree with the need, but they too, our department heads, need to make the business case. But as far as the other countywide offices or other offices or departments that do not fall under the authority of the executive, you might want to ask yourself, should the county executive determine whether or not the clerk or the prosecutor or the public works commissioner needs additional help? If I were to answer that question, it would be a no. They need to make the business case to the appropriating body, the legislative body. And we've been consistent because during the budget cycle, and, you know, as recently as 3 or 4 months ago. Not only have some of our department heads come before you, but those of countywide elected officials have come before you to make a business case on why they needed an unappropriated additional position somewhere during the middle of the budget cycle. So we're being consistent in that today. Hopefully we won't have to, I won't have to answer that question again, and it really wasn't a question, but just some comments. But everything is included, including our department heads' requests for additional positions in the case should be made before you. But again, the county executive, in my mind, in our mind, should not be the one to determine what the clerk or the prosecutor needs or to try to justify it. So I think this is the fairest way to do it. So with that, I thank you very much, and I look forward to working with you in the coming weeks as you pour through all the material before you. Thank you, Chair.
Commissioner Vosburg.
Thank you, Mr. Just a follow-up clarification. Thank you for your comments. Are you saying that the departments that are under the Office of the Executive, the personnel requests, if they're in here, if they're on that page, they're ones you agree, yes, they need to be considered, but those amounts have not been included in the budget?
They have not been included in the budget, and they've got to make the same business case as that of an elected official who's asking for additional help.
I just want to make sure the dollar amounts were not. So in that regard, the whole page of personnel requests, budget-wise, is the same thing. We have to, if we're going to add position, we have to find a way to fund it.
That's correct.
All right, thank you very much.
Any other questions or comments? We have a motion to receive and file. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The presentation is received. Any new business before the commission? Government ops will start immediately following. And just so people know, I apologize, but we did not just not use the projector in the back. It does not work. We're in the process of seeing if we need to replace it or use some other method. With that, roll call or public participation. Once, twice, three times, public participation is closed. Roll call.
Commissioner Brown.
Yes.
Commissioner Carabelli.
Present.
Commissioner Duje.
Present.
Commissioner Flynn. Commissioner Kleinfeld. Commissioner
Here.
Marino.
Here.
Commissioner Mijak.
Here.
Commissioner Miller.
Yes.
Commissioner Sabatini.
Here.
Commissioner Sauger.
Here.
Commissioner Smith.
Here.
Commissioner Toko.
Here.
Commissioner Vosburg.
Here.
Motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Moved by Duje, supported by Sabatini. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Meeting adjourned. Thank you.